Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
It's good. Oh, that sounds very monotone. That doesn't sound great.
I'm pretty good.
Like that exciting.
No, I'm well. Things are chugging along.
Yeah, lots happening.
No complaints. There's a lot of plates spinning at the moment, baby.
There is.
Which is good.
Have you dropped any?
You always. I think that's part of life. You always drop a plate, don't you?
Yeah.
You always.
Is there
drop
a
something.
Song about dropping plates or something you can
no,
throw
but
in
you
there?
You know what's been on my. I was listening. You remember that song? Now that doesn't infiltrate a person's brain, but I just
it's definitely an earworm. I'm just grateful that it's not fucking Dua Lipa. I'm just saying,
Dua Lipa, yeah, love her. I was listening to some Paul Oakenfold the other day, and he has a song that is very, very similar to that. And you know, you hear just something that twigs a
that
tune and it comes
back
into your head.
But we used to play that, you know, we used to play that all the time.
Big fan of Paul Oakenfold. And so I've started listening to him again on Spotify, which I just love some of his old stuff. If, you know, I just love all that old stuff. It's just awesome.
You like all those rave tunes.
I do. I love all those rave tunes. And I mean, he has a lot of new modern day stuff that I didn't realize. I've heard of, you know, in the 2020s, and I didn't realize that it was him.
There you go.
You
I
just
didn't
don't
know
hear,
that either.
But there's just so many DJs around at the moment, you just don't hear that much of, you know, it's just because there's so many of them in the mix. You've got a lot of young, upcoming DJs, which is, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how's it going? What are we talking about?
Well, what we're talking about is, you know, we have our meeting every morning.
Yeah.
We have a team huddle, which I love. I love the team huddles, and I really feel like the team, we were talking about team just before, but I just really feel like the team have come together beautifully. We've got a really cool, awesome team. You know, we really do. So our team huddles every morning. Last year we were really into reading the mission every day, talking about the values every day and stuff like that. We've mixed it up a bit this year.
Yeah.
So we talk about the mission and our outcomes at the beginning of the week, how we've gone with our outcomes at the end of the week.
Yeah.
We talk about our values a couple of times, but today we talked about gratitude and was one of our things. And then you started saying something and I was like, I'm so confused. It wasn't that I kind of got what you were saying, but you kind of went down a way and I thought, well, this is a good thing to talk about because I can feel clearer. I think I understand what you were saying, but there were a couple of things you said and I was like, that doesn't connect. So,
so what
let's
do you
talk
think
about
I was
it.
Saying?
Well, your summary was your gratitude. Everyone else was like, I'm grateful for the team. I'm grateful for R&Y. I'm grateful for da-da-da-da. And you said, I'm grateful for gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I feel like what you were trying to say is that you were grateful that we can access that and that it's not just a throwaway type of feeling or sensation or thing that you just say, like, you know, we talk about it all the time. People often say they're grateful, but it's like this list of I'm grateful for my arms, I'm grateful for my legs, I'm grateful for my this, I'm grateful for that. And it's like doesn't feel like there's any it's not that it's not genuine, but it's not really when you've experienced relationships in you and letting it go and the work that we do, the equilibration process in essence – There's a level of gratitude that you reach that does not get reached, and in other ways, do you know what I mean? You just can't. It's just phenomenal, right? Mm. But then I think you were also saying that that practice of gratitude, that everyday gratitude. I think what you were saying is that when you're accessing that, you don't feel the same level of gratitude, right? But then over time, that builds up to be able to get – I don't know. That's kind
well,
of
I
what
think,
I
think that what's important is that if you were practicing true gratitude daily –
Yes.
Right?
Well, you mean true where, gratitude as in
– What it is to be grateful.
Right.
What it is to be grateful. And the experience in relationships and you and letting it go wouldn't be – as unique as it is.
No, of course not. Yeah.
So what happens then is people think that, and we all do this, people think that they're being grateful, right? And that gratitude is a very head experience. And your body, your brain and central nervous system is what is broadcasting into the world, but it can't broadcast in halves. It can't just come from the head. It has to have both. It's receiving and emitting. It's electromagnetic. So if you...
Electro is a thought going out. Magnetic is a feeling bringing it back.
Of what you're bringing.
And the combination. And if it's aligned, yeah, gets you to a point of love and gratitude.
Yeah, and then you're in a state of connection with your reality and what you're creating. And, you know, it's no longer a miracle to you. It's just a way of life. So then the question is, how do you make gratitude a way of life? Well, I was playing basketball with my little fella the other day.
I love that he's got into basketball.
Yeah, he's
that's so cute. My nephew's into basketball. He loves it. We'll just go play for hours after work, and I love it.
Yeah, he's he really is enjoying it, and he's really really good at it. And he's only six, and he's really good at it. So, but and I'm a bit biased, you know. So, yeah,
but he is very cute.
He is very cute.
And so, you taught? Did you teach him around the world then?
Yeah. So you'd said to me, I'd said to you, give me a game that I can play with him. And he said, let's. You'd show me how to play around the world. So I went in, I pulled in, and I bought him a basketball. And I came home, and I gave him this basketball. And well, the fucking world lit up.
Oh, that's so
he
cute.
Was playing with a netball, and obviously the girls played netball. Lexi plays netball 5 days a week. But we came in and we're playing basketball, and as I go to shoot the hoop. Shoot for the hoop, he says, oh, miss it. And I stopped and I thought, where does he have to pick that up from? And the only place he can pick that up from is his parents. You know, he can pick it up from other places, but it's most likely he's picked it up from me. So I needed to be able to help him to see it differently. And I said, you know, when you're competing with anybody, Ollie, I said, it's important, like competition's important, but you really should be their biggest fan, because when you're someone else's biggest fan, you will attract people who shout for you. So I said, really, when I'm going for that, you should be going, come on, Dad, you got this, you can get this, you know, you've got it. And he wasn't meaning to do
no
the
he
opposite.
Wasn't trying to
he wasn't he was just I know he just picked that up. And I know if I don't show on both sides, it's going to be detrimental. So I said, you just like I, you know, when Lexi's playing netball, I'm shouting for her corner, come on Lexi, you got this, you know, stay on her, da da, you know. And and that's another side story, because Lexi has given me grief from the court, gone, Dad, shut up, literally across the court to me in the stand. I'm like, and I've, all the parents have gone,
oh my God. I was yelling time when I was watching her, and I said, could you hear me? She went, yes.
Everybody can hear you. But so he then stopped, and as I went to take the shoot for the hoop, he was like, come on, Dad, you got this. So in that moment, I realized that when a person is, when we're young and we're in that, you know, we're in a pretty balanced state, we're learning about our emotions and everything else, you know, it actually feels uncomfortable, and your body will tell you when you're being resentful, right? It'll tell you you're being resentful.
Right,
because
yes.
Because you say something negative about someone and you'll know, okay. But if you say it again.
Because that energy is there. You're talking about the energy of being resentful there, and that stays within you. Yep, got it.
So
if
you say something negative again, you'll feel it again. But we humans have a capacity to adapt to an injury, right? If you keep causing yourself that emotional injury, eventually you'll just adapt to it. And that just becomes who you are. You just get around being resentful, and it feels uncomfortable. So, but it's same the other way around. The first time you start being grateful for your life, or counting your blessings and stopping and being grateful for things, the first time you do it, you feel as if, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? Because if you're not grateful, you're resentful. Because you're being resentful, it goes against the cog of, you know, it goes against the grain. So but the first time you do it, it doesn't feel as if it fruits anything.
So it feels a bit inauthentic.
Yeah, and then you do it again, it's going to feel inauthentic. And it's going to keep feeling inauthentic until suddenly you start to realize that life is starting to feed back to you more experiences that are like the payoff for the effort that you've put in to be more grateful. And then what becomes a natural way of life is just being grateful. Does that make sense? And now you're starting to realize that either way, if you choose to be resentful throughout your life or grateful throughout your life, well, either way, it's not easy at the beginning. But eventually,
it
over
takes
time,
energy for both.
Eventually, over time, it has a payoff. And, you know, as we say all of the time, the signature that something has occurred for you, or a miracle has occurred in your life, or you've achieved something, is gratitude. So therefore, you're best to lean towards gratitude You know, and in actual fact, the uncomfortableness is not the center point, is not the equanimity. The uncomfortableness is how far you have to go out of your way to do it for the first time and then the second time. And then the more you keep doing it, practice does make permanent. It just becomes a permanent way of life.
So can you?
And then that has rewards for itself, you know?
Can you give me a real life example of that, like in what you mean?
Well,
because I get it. I think I get it. But in those moments, when you're, if you're not feeling it, they're the types of times that we say it might be inauthentic, not inauthentic. I mean, I'm not saying that you're lying to yourself necessarily, but it's not that true expression of gratitude, which, mm-hmm. like you said, you access that at certain points, right? Mm-hmm. But in your day-to-day, you know, you're thinking about your day and stuff like that, and you're even if you're journaling and stuff like that, how do you go from maybe being in that state where it's not inauthentic but it's not felt in the same way? Give me an example.
Well, I mean, look, I think that it's first important to understand that, you know, your body will adapt to grace as well as it will adapt to disgrace. It'll adapt to gratitude as well as it will adapt to resentment.
Yeah.
But when you start to do it, there's a moment that happens where you just get you spontaneously combust. You know what I mean? You just get, holy shit, if all of these things hadn't happened, I wouldn't have had this. And then it starts to give you glimpses of, hey, this is all coming about, you know, because of the fact that you've been, you know, locating things in your life that you're grateful for,
right.
Actual things.
So the
only time that it feels like hard work, a lot of the time, is when you're not actually locating something you are actually grateful for. Do you know what I mean? And it starts with going, oh yeah, you know, it may have to start with, I'm grateful for the sun, or I'm grateful for my home, or I'm grateful for my kids. But, you know, and then as things start to occur, spontaneously going, oh fuck, I'm really grateful that that happened. Oh my God, I'm really grateful that I was able to go, you know, use my card to be able to go and buy something for myself because I've been putting money aside for this or whatever. It starts to create more of that in your life. But the difficulty...
You're talking about that snowball effect of,
of how it eventually comes together and eventually...
actually, even though it starts by feeling maybe like you're just clutching at straws...
Yeah.
To begin with, because you're so used and your whole energy is used to that resentment mode, say, for example. To switch to the other side takes energy, it takes focus, it takes a lot.
You're exercising that part of yourself. Yep. The first time you go, I've just started doing this form of training called Tabata training, which is 50 seconds, 20 seconds, 50 seconds, 10 seconds, 50 seconds, 10 seconds, rest over 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as much as I work out as often as I can, when you're doing this, you're blowing yourself up. It's a great finisher. But you're exercising, you're doing something new that exercises a part of you. Like, I've always done this. I've always, you know, worked out my arms, worked out my chest, back, shoulders, biceps, triceps. I've always done that.
But I noticed you left out your legs.
Legs, yeah. But finishing on that stuff really allows you, finishing on that really exercises a part of you that was already there that you never realized was there. That extra push allows you to feel that level of something that was there, and it afterwards you feel, fuck, you know, I never knew I had that in me. I never knew that that was there. So it broadens your horizon, brings you to a new level of understanding of what it is that is going on, what it is that it takes to be able to achieve things and create things and have the things in your life that you want. Because if you're fucking resentful and you're broadcasting that into the world, you're bringing those things around anyway. You're bringing more situations that make you resentful anyway.
Feel resentful,
because
definitely.
You're addicted to the resentment.
Yep.
But you can also be addicted to the gratitude and the things that make you grateful and appreciative of your life and what's happening. Do you know what I mean? And it's just a matter of leaning into what is required to do that. Pushing yourself and asking yourselves the question, you know, just every couple of times a day, well, what am I grateful for right now? You know, and sure, it feels uncomfortable the first time, just like doing Tabata training feels uncomfortable the first time. But the second, third and fourth time, you start to feel better.
You're exercising that gratitude muscle. Yeah. So again, then, I feel like, so in terms of being grateful for gratitude, was that you basically saying, I'm grateful for this understanding that I have, that I can build on this in a way that I hadn't realized before?
Yeah, I've always known that it was there, but this was an excellent way to stop and see and understand it a little bit further, you know, because I started to understand, well, this is why people get, you know, they give up on it. You know, they give up on them, that gratitude, they give up on themselves. And there's so many reasons to feel ungrateful. There's just as many reasons to feel ungrateful in your life as there is to feel grateful. Yeah. And there's, you know, people may think that they're grateful because they're saying, oh, no, I'm grateful. But if you're not, if it's not
a practice
and it's not a visceral response, if you're not feeling something in terms of what the response is like inside of yourself over time, but then you're not actually stretching that muscle, you know, you're not feeling it.
Right. So in the Ollie example with Oliver,
I could have taught him to continue, you know, being resentful if somebody doesn't score or if wanting people to miss.
Well, it's not even teaching. It's more of like letting it go or playing that game where it's like, no, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to beat you type thing, right? You could have played the game. But realistically, all he was doing, he wasn't conscious about what he was saying in the sense that after this moment, you helped to show him and help him to be conscious of what he could be saying, right?
Yeah.
He was just doing it because it was something innate in him that he picked up. So he wasn't just going out of his way to be mean or anything. He was just saying something that he knew to say in a situation like that. And that's an unconscious, repetitive thing that I suppose can be translated to everybody's life. You know, you do X, Y, Z because you've always done it. You haven't really got and thought too much about it. So then when either someone outside of you, in Oliver's case with your dad, when someone outside of you points that out and you can be conscious of the opposite and be conscious of what else is potential in that space, or whether you can do that for yourself and interrupt that thought pattern and go, why am I even doing this or saying this or behaving this way?
Right.
Then you can lean into. And I think the reason that partly why people don't do it is because they're not even aware that they're doing it.
It's like
they're not even conscious that they're behaving in a particular way.
Yeah.
Once you can be conscious about it, it takes energy that first few times. Is that what you were trying to say? That first few times takes energy because this was like a habit, a learned behavior, just not even a thought.
Yeah, it's just fucking.
It just comes.
Yeah.
And so the gratitude is actually about making it a practice to feel gratitude.
Yeah.
So from going to having that inauthentic gratitude or that habit to actually making it a practice every single day and a mindset every single day to interrupt those thought patterns, to look at your life a little bit differently, to take that energy and that focus into something that makes you grateful. Basically what you're saying is that over time that builds up and the energy that you would have been putting into the resentment over here goes into the gratitude over here. And then just like we talk about all the time with the reticular activating system, it lights up different parts of your brain. So you find new things to be grateful for. Whereas if you're resentful, you find more things to be resentful for.
And everything has a payoff. So your accumulated resentment generally ends in fucking tears, you know, where something really bad happens. Where your accumulative gratitude also ends in tears of aspiration where something fucking awesome happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just, okay, so what are you doing with your energy?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What are you doing with it?
Yeah. Cool. So what did Oliver do after that?
Oh, he was just like, oh, Dad, you get it. You know, I'll get the ball for you. You know, just it was awesome. It was just really, really good.
Did you feel it? I love it.
He kicks my ass. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
He kicks my ass down there. He absolutely kicks my ass. And then Lexi, holy shit, man. She is just, I cannot get the ball off her.
Can I just say, though, you're not the most sporty person I've ever met.
Well, I don't know.
I think you're good. Mean, I'm not saying you're not good athletically. Like, you're great with riding and stuff like that.
I'm a great soccer player. I am fantastic.
Soccer player?
Yeah,
I've never seen you play soccer.
Yeah, I can play soccer. I'm a really, really good soccer player. If I put my hand to something, I can be pretty good at it. But it's not. I'm actually pretty good at tennis. Like Matt, who plays all the time, said to me, "Come on down and have a hit." And I turned up with, you know, and had a game of tennis.
Go on, like, how did you look?
No, he was great. I looked fine. But he was he was like, "Holy shit, man! I never knew you could hit a ball." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can hit a ball." You know, people just think I'm not athletic.
Well, I don't
I'm not, really, I don't do it all the time. I'm always working, you know, but
no,
I do.
It's not that. It's also you don't really – I know you've played tennis before, but, like, if you're going to choose something, you'll go to the gym or you'll go for a ride or you'll go and you used to go for runs a lot more than – you don't really go for runs so much now, but you used to do that. And so it's not like you're not – you don't do that sort of stuff, but I don't really see you play sports. Whereas I, all from when I was a kid, I used to kick the footy around. Still go to the park, kick the footy around with the family, or I used to play around the world and try and beat my brother, and I never could, but have to cheat in order to beat him. But, you know, I used to do that sort of stuff rather than the running and the riding and those sorts of things. Do you know what I mean? But there you go. That's cute. That the thing that's good. I can imagine Lexi would kick your ass, though.
She's great. I love that. She is really, really an excellent netball player. Her mother was a champion netball player. Angela is an incredible, still is an incredible netball player. You know, and it's a great game. It's a great game for young women to
Than the ankles and the knees sometimes.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, definitely, it's not very good later in life. I remember when I met Ange, we would, middle of the night, she'd be waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd be stretching her legs out. And I'd be like, what are you doing? So, injuries. You know, she'd be up there for 10, 15 minutes stretching, trying to get rid of pain.
Insane. Oi. All right, well, that's good. I'm grateful too.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.